Very pleasant good evening to you one and all. We're glad that you were able to join us here for the Wednesday night service at Mill Street Church. We're all certainly extremely glad to be here with you. The Apostle Paul refers to things by which you're saved in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-6. The Bible teaches that we are not saved by any one thing alone, but a number of things are involved in saving us. It takes a chain of salvation that connects man and God. So we take a look at things by which you're saved.
Things that save. God. If you would like to follow along, Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Another one would be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Another thing that saves is Christ. You know, Matthew 1, verse 21 tells us, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Another example would be 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ saves us, and because of his sacrifice, we are now able to be saved.
We're also saved by grace. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Please also turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Finally, please turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
The next thing that saves us is faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 states that without faith it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we have many examples of faith throughout Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah. Verse 17, by faith Abraham again. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses' parents. Then read verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and of David and Samuel and the prophets. These men are noted for their examples of faith. Likewise, turn over to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 24, it states, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Need I say more? That is a very clear message. Likewise, turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. It says, "And after he," that is the Philippian jailer, "brought them," Paul and Silas, "out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And lastly, Mark 16, verse 16. It says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Again, a very clear and firm statement. We are saved by faith. Without faith, we cannot be saved. But we are not saved by faith alone. And Brother Kenneth will explain that to you.
Among those things that save us, we find works is necessary. And as the brother mentioned, faith can't save us alone because it has to be accompanied by those works. We'll read from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, where it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.' Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So as we see that works is amongst those things that save us, we also see that there are some works that will not save us, and those are works that are done boastfully. We find this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. And those are things that we do. It says there, "For we are not saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So these works are not something that we should be boastful about. But we see that even the very idea of faith is enough for to be considered a work. In John chapter 6 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent."
Another thing that we see is saves is words. Acts 11, verse 14. "Who will tell your words by which you and all your household will be saved?" We also see in Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Because of that, as we see in James 1, 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which will save your soul."
Just like words, repentance is another thing that saves us. Repentance is spoken about in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. That it lets us know that at the times of the ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We see another form of that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When we look at a couple more passages that talk about repentance, of things that do save, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, where it tells us, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And lastly, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
The eighth thing we are saved by is confession. Now, when I talk about confession, I'm not talking about confession of sins, but a confession of faith. Now, some people might ask, what is a confession of faith? Well, if you can, please turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, and that can answer your question. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, he will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Confession of faith is confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you go out to make this confession, you don't do it privately. You don't do it where no one's around. You got to say it loud and proud. And with that, you also got to believe in it. As we can see in another example of confession in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And again, whenever you go to confess, you must believe it. But when it comes to belief, you can't do it 50% or 75%. You got, in your confession, you got to believe 100% that Jesus is Lord. And we can see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart that myself," and he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Another word I'm going to be talking about tonight is baptism. Baptism is just one of the things that can save us, and we can't do it without it. It's just necessary. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul wrote that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, and that is a church. In Mark 16:16, before Christ ascended into heaven, he told the people there with him, saying, "He who believes in me and are baptized shall be saved." So in Matthew 28:16 also, Christ said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And I will be with you always, even to the end of the world."
Another thing that saves is faithfulness. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Revelation 2 and 10, it says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithfulness is a constant state for a Christian. It's a lifetime commitment. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as to the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required a steward that a man be found faithful.
Along with those qualities, just like an Olympic athlete, a professional runner, a Christian needs endurance to finish the race, to reach his ultimate goal. That's a home in heaven. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 24, read verse 13 to support the idea. The writer tells us, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, "Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality." And again, the Hebrew writer, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister."
As we continue our study on things that save us, we're saved by preaching. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 21, he says, "For after that is the wisdom of God, that the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." A couple of examples of that in the New Testament that we can look at is we can look in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4 and 5, it talks of Philip preaching. It says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." And also, we find the example where Jesus himself said, and several of the other men this evening have mentioned a portion of the verse in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, I'll read. And it says in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned."
The next thing that saves is the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it reads, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the word of truth, that they might be saved." In order to be saved by the truth, you must have heard the truth, believed, and obeyed it. Without doing those three things, you cannot be saved by the truth. And if you would turn to John chapter 8, verse 32, John chapter 8, verse 32 reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Also in John 17, 17, it reads, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And also in Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 9, it reads, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are continuous and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. And so we must be, so we must have heard the word, believed and obeyed it. And that word and the truth that we must heard is also is the gospel, which is the Bible that we read. And we see this in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17. And it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to John, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And lastly, also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It reads, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise."
Now we're going to move on to another word that can save you, is that's hope. Hope is something that you can't really live without. And our first verse that we're going to see that shows us that is Titus 1, verse 2. "And hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised the ages begin." Our next verse is going to be Psalm 62, verse 5. Psalm 62 and verse 5. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him."
The last thing that can save us is ourselves. One cannot be saved unless he himself chooses to be saved. If you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, we can see exactly this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." We can also see this if we turn over to Acts 2:40. Acts 2:40, which says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." So we have to choose to be saved ourselves. And we have to be dedicated with that decision as well. You may be asking, what exactly do I have to dedicate myself to in order to be saved? Well, it's simple. We must simply do what the Lord says. If you turn over to Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21, which says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We can also see this if we turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, 8 through 9. Which says, "Thou he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And then the last verse that shows us this is over in Revelation 22:14. Revelation 22:14, which says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So we see from these verses that if we are to dedicate ourselves to doing what the Lord says, that we will have salvation. And another thing to note is that it won't be easy. It's definitely going to be a difficult journey for most. But if we are to endure to the end, we will have that salvation, as it says in Revelation 10:9, which states, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved."
We'd like to share with you a little illustration that might help drive home the point that these men have so ably been making to you about the fact concerning that it takes more than one thing to receive our salvation, or things by which you're saved. This mental picture I want you to draw is of a man who's swimming in a lake, and he swims out a pretty good little ways, and he begins to be in trouble. And so when he gets in trouble, he's afraid he's going to drown, he loses all his pride, and he begins to holler for help. There's a man named John Brown standing on the bank, and he hears this cry for help, and so he jumps in his boat, and he goes out to where the man is floundering in the water, and he throws him a rope. The man grabs the rope, John pulls him into the boat, and they safely make it back to the shore. A crowd has gathered because of the commotion, and when they get out of the boat, the first fellow said, "I saw you get in trouble. What saved you?" And he said, "John Brown saved me." "Is that true?" "Sure it is." He went on toward his car and was stopped by another man. He said, "I saw you got in trouble. What saved you?" He said, "I was saved by a boat." "Is that true?" "Certainly the boat played a part in saving the drowning man." As he went on toward his destination, another fellow stopped him and said, "You got in trouble. What saved you?" He said, "I was so thankful to see that rope. That rope saved me." "Is that true?" "Yes, it is." And finally, as he reached his destination, breathing very hard, give out, somebody else asked him, "What saved you?" He said, "Well, I saved myself by grabbing hold of that rope." That also is true. I think that helps us to form a mental picture of all these points, that more than one thing can go into saving an individual.
So we've talked about some things that can save us. Now we're going to talk about some Bible words that keep us saved. Having studied 15 Bible words by which we are saved, 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2, we now focus our attention on some Bible words that help keep us saved. It needs to be pointed out that we are not saved eternally yet, having only the hope, Titus 1:2, and the promise, 1 John 2:25, of eternal life. So it is time to study a number of Bible words which are designed to help keep us saved. Our first one is going to be continued. It's not enough to start, but we must continue. The first verse we're going to see for that is Colossians 1:23. "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." The second verse we're going to look at is Acts 2:42. Second verse we're going to look at, Acts 2:42. "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers."
As we look at Bible words that keep us saved, we should look at the word always.
always occurs 39 times in the New Testament. Let's look at three examples. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Here, Paul is telling the Corinthians to always abound in the work of the Lord. We can make this connection because we must also always be steadfast and always abound in the work of Christ. Also, you can turn over to Ephesians 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As Christians, we must also always be praying. Last, you can look at John 8, verses 28 and 29. It says, "Then said Jesus unto them, which ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As it says, we must always do those things that please God our Father.
Let's look at another word that would save. Keep us saved. That word is keep. If you'd like to follow along, let's turn to 1 Timothy 5:22. 1 Timothy 5:22. "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure." Also, let's look at James 1:27. James 1:27. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world."
Let's look at the fourth Bible word that keeps us saved, the word worship. John 4, verse 24. It tells us that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews 2, verse 12, tells us the saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee." The worship is going on. An example of this is in Luke chapter 24, verse 52. It says, "And they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy." We are commanded to worship and to keep us safe.
Another word that keeps us saved is the word walk. Please turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It reads, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Please also turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor."
Another thing that keeps us saved is to endure. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, Paul wrote, "For this reason I endure all things, for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory." Then also in Matthew, turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 states, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Endurance is likewise required in order to keep us saved. And we have that perfect example of endurance. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Hebrew writer wrote, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Christ is our ultimate example of endurance. Let's imitate him. But not just endurance. You also have to do it. And our next brother will explain why.
Another Bible word that can keep you safe is do it. Please, brothers and sisters, turn to me to Matthew 7, chapter 3, 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who doeth my Father's will shall enter the kingdom. If you would like to turn to me, turn with me to Revelations 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do this commandment, that they many have right to the tree into life, and many have entered through the gates into the cities.
Another word that keeps us saved is diligent. If you would turn with me to Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Also, if you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Knowing about diligence, here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble."
Again, when we look at things that keep us saved, we look at fear and keep. One of the passages that comes from the scriptures is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verse 13, where it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Respect God and do what he says."
The next thing you must be is a doer. Now, a doer is not someone who just sits around and does nothing. He is proactive in his work, such as us Christians should be. And for this, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." As it says at the last part of it, "he that doeth." Not he that waits and doeth, but he that doeth at that moment. Because what will happen if we don't? Well, for this, please turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to them he is like. He is like a man who buildeth in a house and diggeth deep, and layeth the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arrives, the stream beats vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the storms did beat fervently, and immediately it fell. The ruin of that house was great." As Christians, we have to follow the word of God 100% of the time and do it in its acts. As Jesus Christ once commanded to all the apostles to go out into the world and preach, they didn't wait a day. They didn't wait a week. They did it right then and there, because they knew what they would get, what their reward would be. And that's in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Revelation chapter 24, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and many enter through the gates into the city."
This evening, I want to focus on a word that can help keep us saved also. And that word is edification. The word edify simply means to build up and then encourage. Now we can fall away if we're not careful. And encourage comes from Romans 14:19, we read that let us pursue the things which make for peace and things which make for edifying others. Such words as friendly, comfort, helpful, growing together. In First Thessalonians 5:11 says, "We should comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are doing."
Another word that keeps us saved is the word answer. Christians should always be ready to give an answer. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Also, I'd like to turn to Colossians 4 and 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." It is God's plan that his word should be spread from mouth to mouth, from person to person. And we have an obligation to always be ready to tell other people why we believe.
Last, but certainly not least, we as Christians are to take heed, to be mindful of, or to pay attention to not only ourselves and our lifestyle, but to the doctrine with which we teach. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, that we are to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Thank you for your kind attention.
Hasn't this been a wonderful, great study brought to us tonight by so many different men from so many different places? I hope you agree with me on that. We conclude tonight, as we ought to conclude every gathering of the saints, by offering the Lord's invitation. There's no better way to offer the Lord's invitation than by using His very own words that we find in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Where He says there, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." If you've never obeyed the gospel, it's required that we hear. In Matthew 17, 5, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hearing the gospel, and you make a conscious choice whether to believe it or not. But the admonition that Jesus gives in John 8, 24 is, "If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins." If you make a choice to believe it, then you should be willing to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 gives us this admonition. "There was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now commands men everywhere, everywhere, to repent." Having repented, we must make the good confession. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven." We want to say those words that are recorded in Acts 8, 37 that the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Having done that, we are a candidate for Bible baptism, which is for the forgiveness of our past sins in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. And if you've fallen away and need to be restored, you can do that by repenting, confessing, and having prayer on your behalf. If you need to come tonight, do that just now while together we stand and sing.